Hi, my name is Ray.
Oh, wow. This is going to be...
Oh, no!
Hey, we're Ray and Cynthia. We've been coming to City Church since 2017. We have four kids, Owen, Liam, Aiden, and Sophia. We've been married for...
23 years.
23 years. I think what legacy means to the both of us would be leaving a long-lasting impact, you know, especially for our children, but also for those that we touch and speak to every day.
We really look to make church a priority. And from there, we always want to get involved so that we have those roots in the local church. And from there, we build on that with what we do at home with our kids and things like that. And obviously a big part of building roots is to serve. And we dive right into that. And from a very young age for even our kids, they saw that. So as they got older, they felt like they wanted to do serving and things like that. And
I feel like when the kids started volunteering, they feel that it has become their own church. I think that everybody goes through a time where they question, and that is not, and even though you have a strong, you know, family unit, or you know, you've been raised in church and it's basically all you know, there's always a time when you have to make that decision for yourself. God has to show you, reveal himself to you. That has happened to all of us, so it's happened within our own family as well, and we never stop praying as parents. And so God hears and answers. And so we're so thankful for that. But also because of the prayers of not only ourselves, but of our church family and our grandparents and those family members, you know, God has revealed himself to our children because they also were rooted in a church. It's really difficult. God can do anything, but I think it becomes a layer of difficulty when they're not committed to a church.
Yep.
They're not attending on a weekly basis, whether it's youth, young adults, Sunday morning, and then having them also being or volunteering in a church, I feel that they just have that family and a confirmation happens.
Yeah, PB mentions too, you know, it's not about your kids taking your faith, but making it their own. And obviously, you know, at a young age, it's a little bit easier to do maybe your Devo time or your Bible reading together as a family. Mm-hmm. But when they get to that, you know, preteen, teenage years, it's a little bit harder to get that there because they're too cool or whatever it ends up being. So you really want them to step into their own faith instead of living off of yours. So that's the part that's probably the harder, one of the more difficult things.
I think what is so great is that, and it even happens with our own parents, like when we think about our parents, we're like, they were pretty awesome parents, right?
Yeah,
you know, they did so much for us, but like Ray and I are not perfect spouses, we're not perfect parents, we're not perfect people in general. But, you know, if we just keep on keeping on, if we keep on in the faith and we keep on serving and we keep on reading the word and praying, even when it's difficult, I feel and I know that God is going to use all of those moments,
yeah,
all of the struggles. Nothing is going to go wasted. We love you, City Church.
And let's move people closer to Jesus.
Thanks to Ray and Cynthia for sharing their story with us. We are in part four of our legacy series. We're actually not finishing today. We got one more Sunday next week. Michael's trying to shut me down a week early. No, we'll be here next week with legacy series as well. And what we're doing in this series is we are reminding ourselves that as the church in 2024, we didn't just start in this generation. that every gospel Jesus-believing church can trace our roots all the way back to the day of Pentecost when the church was born, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and we are celebrating all of the faithful men and women who have given and served and preached and prayed for the last two millennia for us to be able to be here to have Jesus change our lives, to have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And what we're talking about in this series is that we are realizing we are part of this great chain of believers that we should be thinking about. We are passing the baton, that one day none of us will be around, but we want to be the type of people that are intentional with the legacy that we are creating as it relates to the Word of God, the church, and all of the things that we see in the scriptures, that we continue those things on, that we want to be responsible as part of the church. Now, as we consider legacy, you know, sometimes people just think, I don't want to necessarily think about the legacy that I'm creating, or sort of lethargic about the idea that's a legacy. Whether you're intentional or you don't care about it, we are creating some sort of legacy. So we want to, on purpose, as a church, as individual Christ followers, be aware of and be thoughtful about the legacy that we are creating. The word legacy just means something transmitted or transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. So what are we leaving behind? So we know as the church that our foundation is on Christ himself and the teaching of the apostles. And what we're wanting to do as individuals and as a church family is we want to train ourselves to respond in faith to life and whatever happens in our lives, because we can react in our emotions and we can react the way that we were maybe taught from our family of origin, good or bad. But instead of just doing those things, that we should train ourselves to respond with faith in God. And this is a legacy. This is a valuable legacy that we can leave for our children and our children's children. As we in this series have been emphasizing different things, we've been talking about faith in God. We've been talking about we want to be a loving community. We talked about that last week. We want to be a hope-filled community. We want to be the type of church family that rejoices together and weeps together. We're going to be celebrating different aspects of life. I was just talking to somebody after service this morning. You know, they got a promotion, thank God for it. But then there's going to be different times in life where we're also mourning the loss of a loved one. And these things can happen simultaneously within the context of the church family. We want to be servant-minded. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus came to serve and not just to be served. So that's an attitude that we should carry with ourselves. We should train ourselves to be steady and consistent, to not easily give up, that we would continue in faith in God, that there's nothing that's going to be happening in culture. There should be no circumstances that happen in our lives that should take us off of faith in God. And then one of the things, as Michael mentioned, that we want to emphasize every year with our legacy series is generosity, that we have a legacy as a church, to be a generous church. And this doesn't come from us. And it didn't just start with my parents who pastored here at this church 20 years before. Nicole and I have been, we'll be pastoring this October for 16 years, Nicole and I. That's crazy. We'll be married 30 years this October, Nicole and I. And so, you know, my parents left a tremendous legacy for us as generous individuals, as a generous church. And generosity didn't start with my parents. It started with God. God is a generous God. And so one of the things that we do in conjunction with our legacy series is that we receive an offering for some intended purpose, which I will talk about that here in a second. Last year, we received our offering to renovate. We renovated two rooms here behind this wall, and we're going to be using it for a classroom and team room and stuff for city groups. There's going to be a lot of great purposes for what happens in those rooms. So this year, our goal for our legacy offering is $50,000. So far to date, we've received almost $10,000 for our legacy offering. So you can continue to give, or if you are waiting for someone else to give, they didn't get your memo. So you can give on your own behalf this morning. And I just want to break apart this $50,000 and what it's going to be used for. The heating and air conditioning unit that will serve these two new rooms is going to cost us $20,000. As we did the renovations, we realized that unit wasn't actually working anymore. So it's going to be $20,000 to replace that unit. Another $20,000 is going to go towards our youth and young adults conference this fall. and another $10,000 is going to go to address needs in our City Kids area. Now, I just want to make mention of giving. When we're giving at church, again, we don't want to be giving because of obligation and we have to or all these different things. We want to be giving from the heart. Now, when we are giving, as I mentioned last year, you know, we gave towards these two new rooms. And as we're giving at church, it's important to know that we're not just giving towards drywall and new flooring and lights and wires in the walls to make sure that things run properly. When we're giving at church, what we're giving towards is that we're reminding ourselves that eternal life change is going to happen in these rooms. That as we give towards flooring in our kids' area, we're not just giving for new flooring in our kids' area so they can pee on it. I'm like, that's not very exciting. No, there's going to be eternal life change that happens in our City Kids area. So we are giving with a purpose, with an eternal mindset that we would be generous because we know God is going to do great things with our giving. And it's the same way when we're giving on a weekly basis, our tithes and offerings, we can just give to be thankful that as we move into the summer months, thank God there's air conditioning in the church. And so I want to give so we can pay the electrical bills so I can sit in comfort in the auditorium. Now, you can give that way or that reason, but we should give with a heart of worship towards God. And we should give with the idea that someone is going to get to hear the gospel for the very first time, or someone is going to be discipled based on my giving. And so we can be excited about giving. Can I get an amen? We can be excited about the idea of generosity because God does great things with our generosity. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul here in these verses is going to talk about his own ancestry of faith and then also about Timothy and his ancestry of faith. And it says here in verse 3, it says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwells first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I am now sure dwells in you as well. So we have Lois, Eunice, and Timothy, three generations, all who are serving God, have a faith in God. And like Ray and Cynthia said, they have a tremendous heritage of faith in their family. And if you have that, thank God for that. We want to perpetuate that. We want to have the generations to follow us to continue to serve God. If you are a first generation believer in Christ, you get to create a legacy because of your faith in God. We want our kids, when they're old enough, to make that choice. And we want them to be trained up in the ways of God so that they will, when they're old enough, say yes to Jesus. So we get to do this as a part of the family of God, as a part of the church, a gathering of a bunch of imperfect believers serving and worshiping a perfect God. So as we live out this life of faith, in week one, we talked about faith and courage. Week two, we talked about a heart of service. Last week, we talked about we, the church, that God has called us to be famous for loving each other. So if you missed any of those messages, especially if this is your church home, I encourage you to go back and check out those messages on our YouTube page. But today, we're going to be talking about the Word of God. And the title of today's message is Forever Settled. Are you thankful for the Word of God? You know, we have the Word of God. We have 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, that go to make up what we call our Bible, our Holy Bible, it says on the edge of this Bible. And what we have, this is a book, but really it's a library. And it's telling us one story about God coming down to man. And all the way through the Old Testament, we see human individuals who were leaders and who were judges and who were prophets, all who God was sending to tell the story that God is ultimately going to send a Messiah, a Savior. And then we see the culmination of the story in the New Testament that Jesus is coming, that Jesus is here, and he did something for us that we can never do for ourselves. We couldn't make our way as imperfect, unholy beings to make our way to a holy God. So Jesus made a way for us to be able to have a relationship with God. And this is the story that's being told to us in the scripture, but it's told in different genres. That we have laws and we have history and we have poetry and we have prophecy and we have narrative. We have the promises of God. And depending on who you would ask, almost half of the scripture is narrative. In other words, it's story form. So we're supposed to be extracting from the stories what God is wanting us to do or what God says to us about life. And aren't you thankful for the word of God? Amen. And this is a legacy that we want to continue here at the City Church, that we don't want to take the ways of the world and try to have them somehow match up with the word of God. And sort of there's a fancy word called syncretism. And really it's trying to like take two incompatible ways of thinking and have them somehow work together. And we would see this sometimes in some mainline denominations. They have abandoned the word of God and they have issues of the day, issues of the culture, and they have those as their preeminent thing, not Jesus, not pointing people to Jesus, but some other issue. And what we want to do is we want to create a legacy of, you know what, we're going to stay with the word of God. That the message of the scripture is still Jesus, and Jesus still saves, and Jesus wants to save you and your friends, and everybody needs to get to Jesus. Amen? And so we don't want to do this syncretistic idea that we're going to take the ways of the world and somehow mesh them with the word of God. No, the word of God is the word of God. And these are the stories that we have on purpose. And these are the stories that we need. Amen? Now, when we think about the word of God, what is the word of God? Well, it's God's message. It's God's thoughts. It's God's ways. It's God's patterns. It's words to live by, and it's words to die by. And the reality is for everybody in this room, everybody in our city and province and nation, everybody lives by words. Because words are thought containers. And so we have decided some sort of way of living based on the words that we have heard. But what God is wanting us to do, he's wanting us to base our lives, to govern our lives, to change our thinking in relation to what he says. Amen. And his thoughts for my life, not just make up something, not just take the culture of the moment and the voice that's yelling at us the loudest in culture and just, oh, I'm going to form my life by those words. No, God has something to say. We think about creation. What is the story of creation back in the book of Genesis? And again, the book of Genesis is not telling us a scientific order of creation. It's a purposeful and functional story of creation. For all the young people in the room, the Bible is not a science book. All right, so don't try to look into it for science, but there is the message in there for your life. And we see in the word of God, God said, and God said, and God said, and all of creation has come from the voice of God, God's ways, God's thoughts, God's purposes. And this is how we should be creating our lives. Not just the voice of the day, but the word of God as his purpose for my life. God, what are you saying to me? How are you training me to think? Because everybody is living by words, but God is wanting us to choose his words, his thoughts. John chapter 1, verse 1 says this, talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Talking here about Jesus, that Jesus showing up to us was the express word of God. The word was with God and was God, closely related. His thoughts, his ways, his message to mankind. And all of a sudden, Jesus is showing up. The scripture says, Jesus is the word. Verse 2, it says this, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life. In Jesus was life. In other words, the word of God is showing up and is going to tell us something about our lives. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And every word in that verse is so meaningful and so important. that the word, the story, the laws, the poetry became flesh, showed up in Jesus. And so the culmination of what God is telling us in his story, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, we see it all lived out in Jesus. And the same is going to be true for us. Not that we're going to be the incarnate Son of God. But when the word becomes flesh in our lives, when the message of God, the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the patterns of God show up in my flesh, in my body, then we will see the word of God lived out, not just the word of God hitting my eardrums, but the word of God becomes enfleshed in me, that I'm taking his ways and his thought, his purpose for my life. The word of God, he showed up and there was life in him. Amen. So important for us to stay, to be attuned with the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89, the whole of Psalm 119 is talking about the word of God. But here, I'm just picking out one verse. It says this, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." Another translation says, "Forever, O word, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Another translation says, "Forever, O word, your word is settled." In other words, the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the purposes of God are settled. See, God is not taking his cues from culture. Are you with me this morning? See, God has a purpose. And if we go back, one of the simple things, one of the purposes of creation, we see a family at the beginning of creation. That God is not going to, oh, you know, we're just old fashioned. And then so we're going to change God's purposes because of this is what's being said in culture. No, God has a purpose for creation. God has a purpose for your life. God has his thoughts for your life. So we're not reverse engineering the scripture based on what the culture says. And listen, you know, for all the young people in the room, when we think about culture, you know, when you're in your 20s, you're aghast at like half of the things your parents say. It's like, oh, don't say that. Don't talk like that. I just want to let you know, 30 years from now, your kids are going to be telling you the exact same things. You've got all the words figured out right now. But if we look back 30 or 40 years ago, we're like, oh, they're so outdated. According to the culture of the moment, 50 years from now, people are going to look back in the 2020s and be like, oh, I can't believe they thought that. How could they make a movie like that? And this is how culture goes. It evolves and it changes. But the word of God is the word of God. It is forever settled. It is telling us God's purposes for our lives. It doesn't change. Amen. It's forever settled for us. Now, when we think about the word of God, what are we getting? And what is the legacy that we're supposed to leave? We're supposed to leave this idea. We're proclaiming the gospel. We're telling the good news story. We're telling people that they can have a relationship with God on their own because of what Jesus has done. This is the good news story, and it has to be told with words. Amen? This is the narrative that we see in the scripture culminated in the life of Jesus. The word of God is the standard. It's the ideal. It's the perfect calibration tool for life. It is what we're called towards. See, and it's easy to think nowadays, again, in the culture, it's like, oh, I mess up in this and you just need to accept me. No, God is still calling us to the ideal. God is still calibrating our lives to the word of God. He's wanting us to move in that direction. He's not wanting us to settle for sin. He's not wanting us to settle for something else. God has a way for us to live the standard. And this is what the word of God shows for us. What I love about the word of God, it shows us the good and the bad and the ugly of humanity. It shows us the things not to do. There's parts of the scripture that are definitely rated R. Did you know that? Are you nervous about that? But why are they? Why is that in the story? And, you know, there's kind of a movement today to, like, change history because we don't like history. No, we need to know the history so we don't do it again. Amen? And this is what we see in the scripture. The New Testament tells us that we would go back and look at the Old Testament for things to do and things not to do. And there's some things in the Old Testament that will make you cringe, make your grandmother blush. But again, they're in there so you don't do them. That we would learn from that. We would learn from the negative. And again, this is what, when we're reading from the stories, extracting what God is saying to us. When we spend some time in the Word of God, and this is why I'm always wanting you to have some sort of reading plan or some sort of way to listen to the Scripture, that when we're hearing the Word of God, we're hearing His voice and we're training ourselves to know what God is saying to us. We're training ourselves in the ways of God because we are being trained anyway by words. Are you out there this morning? There are words coming at us all of the time. Words are forming us and shaping us. But God wants us to be shaped and formed by His words. And when we train ourselves in the Scripture, then when we read the Scripture and we see the stories and when we see the hand of God in action, that in the things where I have to make choices, that I have to be led by the Spirit of God, that I've already have practiced, I already know what the voice of God is, so it's easier for me to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying because I've trained myself in the ways of God. That what the Holy Spirit will say to us will line up with the Word of God. Can I get an amen? You know, well, some people say, well, I just feel like the Lord is wanting me to do this, and it goes directly against the Scripture, and we'll be just like, no, that's not Him, because the Word of God says this. So we're aligning what the Word of God, we're aligning and we're knowing that the Spirit of God will speak to us what the Word of God says to us. The Word of God gives us warnings and encouragement and rebukes and correction. Do you like a good rebuke once in a while? You should, because if you read the Word of God, you are going to get rebuked once in a while. You're going to get your toes stepped on. You might actually get your feelings hurt reading the Word of God. Why? Because, hey, I this is the way I think, and this is the way I'm doing life, and the Word of God says, hey, no, we shouldn't, and here's the story why you shouldn't. Here's the outcome of that bad thing that you're doing or the way that you're living or the attitude that you have. We should desire to be rebuked by the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Corrects us, changes us. See, we should want to and know and desire what God is saying to us. See, what the Word of God does for it, it transforms us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, also we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers, that the Word of God is at work in our lives, transforming us into the image of Christ. Now, it's good to study the Word of God and to have information. And like I said, to know that there's 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. That's good study information to have. But we're not just supposed to have technical information of the Word of God. That the Word of God is working in us, transforming us into the image of Christ. We're not just going for information, but transformation. That God would be shaping us with His ways, His thoughts, His words, to esteem the Word of God in our lives, to honor the Word of God in our lives. And this is a legacy that we want to leave behind. The Word of God feeds your spirit. Let's read it here, Matthew 4, verse 4. Says this, but he answered. This is when Jesus was being tempted by the enemy after his 40-day fast. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus is giving us a comparison here about physical bread and then saying to us that the Word of God is spiritual bread. Now, what do we get when we eat bread other than just carbs? What are we getting? We're getting some sort of energy that this will be transformed into energy for me to live my physical life. And it's saying that we shouldn't just live by bread, not just by physical bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Everybody is living by words. Everybody is being inspired. Everybody is being told. Everybody is saying you should do this, but what should we, as followers of Jesus, what should we be doing with our lives? That the word of God would be bread for our souls. It would sustain us. It would inspire us. It would challenge us. It would move us forward in our lives. The same way that we get energy from physical bread is the same way that we should get energy, life energy, from the word of God. This is how we are supposed to be living, training ourselves in the way of God. The word of God will guide your way. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Will it illuminate my way so that I won't live in darkness, that I won't live in the darkness of sin? God, what do you say? What are your thoughts? I know what my thoughts are. I know what my feelings are. I know what culture is telling me. What do you say? I want you to illuminate my pathway. I want to know your intentions for my life, my Savior and my Creator, that we would esteem the word of God. The word of God also makes us aware of our intentions. And this is a really big one. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this: for the word of God is living and active. Living and active. So what are we supposed to go to the word of God for? We're going for life. There's a story that we can read. There's a law that we can read. There's poetry in there. There's some history that we can understand. And it's alive. Now, how do I make it alive in my life? How do I esteem the word of God? Well, let's keep reading. It's living and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, God's word wants to get right down on the inside of us. See, all that man can do is make laws to curb our behavior. But what the word of God is intended to do in our lives is to get right down on the inside. What are the intentions of my heart? So we're just not reading stories. What is the motivation of this person? Why are they doing this? What is the choice that they are making? See, Jesus unpacks the scripture like this on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you know, you heard it said, you shall not kill. But I say, Jesus is saying, if you hate your brother, is an equivalency to killing somebody. So Jesus is not just dealing with the action of your hands, and we all know that killing is wrong. Please say amen. We all know that murder is wrong, but what Jesus is dealing with is the motivation of the heart. I want you to think about what you're thinking about. What words are influencing your life? What thoughts? Jesus said, you know, you've heard it said that you shouldn't commit adultery. And then he said, If you've looked upon a woman in lust, you've already committed adultery. And other than Jesus telling us that all men are going to hell with those words, what he's saying to us is adultery doesn't just start with the act. It doesn't just start with your body. It started with your thoughts. So Jesus is dealing with our heart. He's dealing with our thoughts. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. Amen. I needed more men saying amen there. Men, thank God for the grace of God, right? Amen. Otherwise, we're all in trouble. But what does the word of God do? The thoughts, intents of our heart, dividing it. This is what the word of God does. Challenges us on the inside, making us think about our lives. And we, as the church, the city church, we want to continue to sow the word of God. We don't want to let the thoughts of culture invade and us somehow change the word of God to make it more palatable for people. We're like, no, this is what the word of God says. This is why you were created. This is the purpose of your life. Amen. We want to continue to sow the seed of the word of God in children, in students, in adults. There's a parable here that Jesus tells to his disciples, and then they were confused about it. And then so he unpacks it for them, helps them to understand it. And then he says this in Mark 4, verse 13. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So Jesus spoke in a parable and in a story, in other words, an analogy that expresses to us some truth. And we see this in the parables that Jesus told. So what Jesus is doing with the parables is he's making up a story to express to us a truth. Like the story, the story of the prodigal son, that family and the father and the two sons. Do you understand that that's not a real family? Are you here this morning? Like, I know I blew to somebody's mind. Like, Jesus is telling a story to express something about the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying to us, this thing that we're going to read helps us to understand all parables. Understand all of the words that Jesus is saying to it. Don't we want to read this and know what it says? I think we should. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear it, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown. What is the path? What is the illustration of the path? Well, the path is a hard place. Now, if you're going to plant seeds, do you plant seeds on a path? No, you don't. Why? Because it's hard. There's no space for the seeds to take root. And this story is truer than true. This is how all words go. Have you ever watched a news broadcast? Have you ever watched a politician you don't like? Is your heart good soil for a politician you don't like? No, you're like, everything, no, liar, nah. And the seeds are bouncing off. All words are like this. And what Jesus is saying to us, he's talking about the word of God, his word. His word for the purpose for your life. His thoughts, his ways for you and me. Could we? Is it possible for followers of Jesus to have a heart that's like a pathway? Absolutely it is. We know this is true. Have you ever been sitting in a church service? And you're like, no. I'm going to let that hit the back wall, Pastor Brendan, hit you back in the face. I say no to it. We can have a hard heart. Verse 16, now these are the ones that are sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, endure for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones who sown among thorns. These are they who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of wretches, the desire for other things. This is so true. Enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But here's what we desire for ourselves. And here's what we desire as we teach children. We teach young people. And we're all learning ourselves. And we proclaim the gospel to somebody who doesn't have a relationship with God. This is what we desire. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it. And bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, that the word of God would flourish in our lives, would produce fruit in our lives as God would intend for us to live our lives. Amen. And we'll finish with this. Matthew 7:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Here's a description for life. An analogy for life. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, it fell, for great was the fall of it. So what's the differentiating factor between these two people? The one whose house fell and the one whose house stood, the storm was the same. The differentiating factor was you hear the word and do it. The word becomes flesh. And this is the legacy that we want to leave behind. That we don't just hear the word and know the stories and be able to recite the poetry and can tell the history, but we hear the word of God and we accept what he's saying to us and we transform our lives. We shape our lives according to the word of God, not just what I want here in this moment, not just what culture is saying to me, but God, what are you saying to me? Because God's word produces fruit in our lives when we do it. Amen. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for your word today. We esteem it highly in our lives. God, it is the legacy that we leave behind that we would know what you are saying to us, that we would understand your message, we would understand your thoughts, and we would put them to practice in our lives. So God, I just pray for all of us today as we continue to hear the word of God throughout the week and on Sunday mornings, that you would help us to do it. That we're not deceiving ourselves just by hearing, but that we would do the word of God and that our lives would stand because of you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hey, before we go this morning, if you are here today and you have never said yes to Jesus, as I said, the whole narrative, the whole story arc of scripture is pointing to the fact that Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because all of that happened, that God just offers us a relationship with himself. We don't qualify for it in our own goodness. The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we have to do this morning is receive the gift of salvation. All we have to do is say yes. So I'm gonna lead you in a prayer here in a second. I invite you to pray along with me to say yes. Or maybe you're here this morning and you kind of feel distant from God this morning. You know, you used to be close to him. Maybe something happened in a church context. You know, God has not mad at you today. God is inviting you close to himself again. I invite you to pray along with me as well. So church, let's bow our head and close our eyes. And let's pray this prayer out loud. Praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time or somebody rededicating their life to Christ. God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. And you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways and I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with those who made that decision for the first time today. Yes, we are so happy. We're so excited that you made that decision. If that was you, we're going to encourage you to fill out the Connect card in the seat pocket in front of you. Turn that into the info desk in our main lobby. We have a team that's going to greet you with a big smile. They're going to celebrate with you, but as well, they have some free resources for your new journey of faith that you just started. Before we go, I wanted to remind you of some announcements that Michael and Christine announced earlier in the service. Just a reminder that we are still collecting donations for Eden Food for Change right by the main doors, kind of near the City Kids area. There are grocery bags that you can pick up with our current needs list as you go grocery shopping today. Maybe you're doing your Sunday meal prep. Fill that bag up with some goodies and bring it back, and we'll make sure it gets into Eden's hands. Let me invite you to stand this morning as we get ready to go. If you came to church this morning hoping for someone to pray with you or for you, our prayer team, they're coming down to the front of the stage right now. Feel free to come up to any one of them after service is dismissed. They would be more than happy to agree with you in prayer for anything you're facing. All right, City Church, we love you so much. We invite you to join us back next week at 8:30, 10:15, or noon. We love you so much. Have a great week. You are dismissed.